I'd like you to turn to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 37. John chapter 7. Someone asked me this week, did I preach at people? Did I have someone in mind? Was I picking on somebody when I did a Bible study or something a couple of weeks ago? Well, the answer is absolutely and no. Absolutely. Everything I do is aimed at all of us, including me. So if it's aimed at you, you know, Tim LaHaye said one time, if you're guilty, if you feel guilty, sometimes you are guilty, all right? But know that this study in the Gospel of John, I planned this 9 months ago. And we got 24 studies. This is number 10, all right? So we're going to be here a while. Sunday night, the covenants, I wrote that over last Thanksgiving and typed it up. Proverbs on Wednesday night, I did that all of last summer. I took each chapter of the book of Proverbs and read each verse in each chapter and categorized the verse into over 150 categories, so there's a potential of 150 Bible studies there. You might get beat to death with Proverbs, okay? And right now, hopefully this week, I'll finish 2 Corinthians 5. There are 8 new things God does for us when he saves us, and they're listed in 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll look at all 8 of those. And hopefully this week, I'll finish the Beatitudes. There are 8 of those. And I want to do something in the book of Jonah. So, you know Jonah, submarine seminary? The guy that got the first air-conditioned submarine ride, Jonah, okay? So, that's where we're going into next year, okay? So, and I decided that every April Fool's Day, I'm going to preach on atheism. Or cults. I'm going to do isms that ought to be wasms. Every April Fool's Day from now on, so that's what's coming. But anyway, yeah, no, and yeah, everything I do is aimed at everybody, so me too. So just kind of keep that in mind. Look at John 7, 37 through 39, you have the declaration of Jesus, what Jesus says. John 7, 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, what feast? Verse 2, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. He's at the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John gives a little commentary here. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, when you trust in Jesus, you are immediately indwelled by the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Now, verses 40 through 53, you have the diversity of reactions. You have the declaration of Jesus, I am the living water. Then everybody's got an opinion, right? Diversity of reactions. Verses 40 and 41, A, you have people that are convinced. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard of this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, the Messiah. Others said, this is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Then you have some people that are contrary. Always got a few in the crowd. 41b, they object. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 42, hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So they were contrary. Then you have people that are confused about what Jesus said. Verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Then in verse 50, the fourth group, want to study it. They're contemplative. You have the convinced, the contrary, the confused. Then you have the by the way, this thing about no prophet comes out of Galilee, that's not true, because 2 Kings 14:25 says Jonah was a prophet out of Galilee. So again, what Jesus told them, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, was true in this case. Verse 50, Nicodemus reasons with them. Nicodemus said unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth not our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Then they answered and said unto him, They smarted off to him and disrespected him as what they did. Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Let's go think about it. Let's go study it. You got to understand the water thing going on here in the New Testament. We've got lots of water in America. The Western Hemisphere has lots of rivers, lots of lakes. Europe has plenty of water, but in the Holy Land, water is very, very scarce. You're familiar with the word wadi. This is Wadi El Alamein. This is Wadi Sharif. A wadi is a rainy weather river. When there's rain, there's a river. When there's no rain, it's a dry bed, a wadi. They have very arid summer months. It rains in the spring and the fall. They talk about the spring and the fall rains, the early rain and the late rain in the year. But during the summer months, the brooks dry up, the wells dry up, water had to be carried long distances. Often you go to bed thirsty. Sometimes they went to bed hungry, but often in the summer, people went to bed thirsty. They would dream of drinking from springs of water, fresh, clear, cool water coming up out of the ground. The Aramaic sayings at this time, when they said, I've got water flowing from my belly, that means they're full. They're not thirsty today. I am so thirsty I could dry a river. Pretty thirsty. My thirst is so quenched that I feel as if rivers of water are flowing within me. That's when you had enough water to drink. That's when you've had enough. Rivers of water within me. Which is why Jesus said in the Beatitudes, Come unto me, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, it starts off in verse 37. Jesus stood. Rabbis sat when they taught. Jesus is not the typical rabbi. Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now, rabbis sat. That's the way he taught the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 1, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says he cried out. Rabbis didn't hoop and holler when they preached. I don't hoop and holler enough for some people. In my association, I was on the radio sometimes, and they called me the sophisticated preacher because I didn't hoop and holler enough, okay? I had a friend that was 42 and lost his voice. He had nodes on his vocal cords because he screamed all the time. And he wouldn't give it up. He just, he could barely speak above a whisper, but he still felt like he had to hoop and holler when he preached. Okay, so if you want hooping and hollering, go somewhere else. But anyway, he cried out. That's a sign when a rabbi cries out, great emotion, tremendous feeling, strong outburst. And it's the last day, the great day. John 19:31 says it is the high day of the priest. So I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the occasion of Christ's proclamation. Then I want to talk about the offer of Christ's proclamation, and then the opportunity of the living water. Three things, all right? Three things, okay. The occasion of Christ's proclamation. There were three great feasts. There was the Feast of Passover. Then 50 days later, Pentecost. 50 days later, the Feast of Pentecost. And in the fall, the Feast of Tabernacles. Deuteronomy 16:13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. This is the harvest. After the harvest is gathered in, the Feast of Tabernacles. They would pitch tents and live in the tents for a week. Jews do that today. They pitch a tent in their backyard and they live in the tent for a week. It's to remind them of living in tents, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. When you made your tent or your thatched roof, you had to leave enough opening so you could see the stars in the sky while you were asleep. Remind them of the time that they had to live without roofs over their heads, wandering in the wilderness. Reminded them of the miracles that God did. The Feast of Tabernacles, the custom that Jesus is talking about was established by Haggai and Zechariah. It's mentioned in the book of 1 Maccabees in the Apocrypha. Every day of the feast, a priest with a golden pitcher would go down to the Pool of Siloam and dip up a pitcher of water. And he would bring it back and he would pour it on the altar, and the blood and the water would mix on the altar and run down the sides. Now the Christian's altar is Calvary. And when the Roman soldier thrust a spear into the side of Jesus, what came out? Blood and water. Yeah, okay. So he would do that for 7 days. They would go out the water gate and come back in the water gate with the pitcher of water. It's on the south side of the inner court of the temple. And when the priest came in with a pitcher of water, the shofar, the ram's horn, would blast 3 times because of the joy of the occasion. They would quote Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Now, on the last day, 2 priests. The priest would go down and get the pitcher of water. He would come back. He would march around the altar 3 times. The ram's horn would blow 3 times. The priest with the water would stand on the west side of the altar. The priest with a pitcher of red wine would stand on the east side of the altar, and they would pour their pitchers of water together on the altar, and the water and the wine would run down the sides of the altar, the great day of the feast. And this is when Jesus, when they did that, Jesus stood up and said, "If any man thirst, come unto me and drink. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water." Zechariah 14:8 is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the future. This is Jerusalem. "And in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in the summer and in the winter. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one." The Feast of Tabernacles remembered Moses in the wilderness with the rock. They were thirsty. God doesn't do something, we're going to die. And God struck the rock, Exodus 17, and water came out of the rock, and they had water to drink. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says, "Christ is our rock, the living water." The Bible very plainly says that is a picture of Jesus being struck, that we can receive living water. Jesus claimed to be for them what the water from the rock was for ancient Israel. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Because they had so many springs that dried up in the summer and then came back when the rainy season. The occasion of the proclamation was the Feast of Tabernacle. And they are Jews. They are there. They know what's going on. And Jesus gets up right in the middle of them and says, I am the living water. And they knew exactly what he was saying. Now, what's the offer? Well, the offer is universal because everybody needs water. Everybody has to drink. You can go a long time without food. I wouldn't want to. Someone asked me, what are you giving up for Lent this year? And I said, one candy bar a day. I'm giving up my extra bowl of ice cream. We can go a long time without food, guys, but we cannot go a long time without liquid somehow, intravenously or some kind of Gatorade or some kind of electrolytes or some kind of power drink or whatever. We've got to have water. God is unwilling that any should perish and that all should come to repentance, and he offers us the water. Isaiah 55:1, Isaiah is full of this living water thing all the way through the book. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, the problem with this world is you have a choice of drinking places in your life. You know, there are alcoholics in Winter Haven that have their favorite watering hole. And there are lost people in Winter Haven that have their favorite watering hole. And some people would rather drink out of a mud hole than drink the living water. We have a lot of people in our country that are drinking out of mud holes today, and the country shows it. With the crime rate and the lying and the dishonesty and the corruption. You know, my grandmother used to say, don't send an honest man to Washington because he won't stay honest long. And Granny was right, okay? There's a universal need for water. Number two, there is a personal need for water. Every person has to drink for themselves. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Marcus Dodd said, if anyone is miserable or hopeless, it is because they have not humbly responded to Christ's word and come to him. The offer is universal. The offer is personal. The offer is terminal. You can't drink after you're dead. Okay, now I know some people believe you can get saved after you die. I don't believe that. We don't believe that. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. What's the old joke about the funeral goes by and the hearse goes by and it's a millionaire, and one guy says, wonder how much he left behind, and what's the answer? All of it. Yeah, all of it. You know, the only joke that worse than that is everybody threw cash into the coffin and the widow came up and gathered up all the cash and wrote a check and put it in there. Yeah. We're terminal. William Barclay said, water is that without which man cannot live, and Christ is the one without whom man cannot live and dare not to die. You don't dare die without Jesus. You don't try to live without Jesus if you're smart. So there's the occasion of the proclamation, the Feast of Tabernacles. There's the offer. It's universal. It's personal. Then there is the opportunity of the living water. Look at the orders. Look at the three important words. If any man thirst, let him come and let him drink. You got to thirst, you got to come, and you've got to drink. In that order. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, Mark 10. And this is the place in the Bible where someone just flat out asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus' first answer was, you keep all the commandments. He said, I've done all of that. Then Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell all thy goods to the poor, and come and follow me. And the young man turned away sad because he had great possessions. He was thirsty. He came, but he didn't drink, so he missed it. There was a great play in a World Series. Now, this is an evangelist story, okay? I heard evangelists tell this story when I was in high school, so I assume it's true. You know how evangelists are. Okay. Then in the World Series, the bases were loaded, the team was behind, this guy gets up, and he hits a home run. And everybody comes in, and he's going to win the game. And he goes around, and he touches home plate, and the umpire says, "You're out. You're out. You didn't touch first base." And yeah, if you don't touch first base, the other ones don't count. First base is accepting Jesus as your Savior. Second base is finding a church. Third base, getting baptized, reading the Bible, praying, giving, witnessing. But none of it counts. You are out with God. You don't touch first base. And first base is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking about spiritual hydraulics here. What turns the water wheel? Running water. What turns the wheel of the church? The Holy Spirit in us. Be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Fills the church, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But then it's each one of us. 1 Corinthians 6:11 is a good verse. Let me get over to it. Is 1 Corinthians in the Old Testament or New Testament? It's a trick question. All right, you knew that. All right. And such as were some of you. He's talking about drunkards, revilers, extortioners, covetous, thieves. And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit lives inside us. Remember the old country woman? They were talking about being filled with the Spirit. She said, "I can't hold much, but I can overflow lots." And that's what God wants us to do. You might not be able to hold much, but God wants you to overflow a lot. You know, some people just miss the obvious answer. The assistant pastor was doing a children's sermon down front for the little kids, and he wanted to get them to participate early, and so, you know, he looks at him and he says, "Okay, what has gray fur and a bushy tail and climbs trees and hides nuts in the wintertime?" And a little boy says, "Well, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me." You know, the answer was a squirrel. You know, how do you catch a squirrel? You climb up a tree and act like a nut. That's right. That's what Tennessee Ernie Ford used to say. But, guys, the answer is Jesus. He is the living water. And he says, "Come unto me, all you thirsty, and drink. I will pour water upon the dry ground. I will give unto him that is thirsty." Isaiah 44:3. I was reading old Sunday school lessons. Arthur House Steinbeck, and Dr. Steinbeck was the head of Baptist Bible Institute over in Graceville, Florida. You know, if you didn't have a college degree, my Sunday school teacher, he worked at the bank, and God called him to preach, Kermit Matthews. And he quit being my Sunday school teacher. He had a high school degree, and he went over to Baptist Bible Institute and studied the Bible. And then he was a good pastor here in Florida for many years. Baptist Bible Institute, but he would write books of Sunday school helps for Sunday school teachers on what your lessons were for the year. And in his Sunday school help book from 1968, you remember where you were in 1968? Okay, don't strain yourself, okay? I found something that's very interesting. He writes this. This is 1968, Sunday School Help Book. For many years, I have heard reference to the last will and testament of Jesus from an unknown source. What did Jesus put in his last will and testament to the world? He left his purse to Judas. He left his body to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. He left his mother to John. He left his clothes to the Roman soldiers who crucified him. He left his Last Supper to his followers. He left his peace to his disciples, his teaching as an example to his followers. He left his gospel to the world, and he left his salvation to whosoever will. Now, he is the living water, and whosoever will may come.